My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there. Happy Friday. Some would call it Fantasy Friday. We've never really exactly branded it officially, but...
Check, please.
So, I assume you're not in tomorrow's draft?
You assume correctly.
Okay, because it did fill.
And believe me, I didn't know, you did not divulge to me that this was a golf outing, a fantasy outing in the close of a golf outing. I didn't realize that until I asked you about, hey, you want to do the old thing we used to do when we'd drive to Rochester for training camp, is you're on Grand Island, I'm in North Buffalo, silly for one of us to go to the other, let's just meet at the 90 at transit and leave a car and we'll drive. And you said, well, I got to be there at X time or whatever, there's a fantasy drive. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
You didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
Adam Krautwurst and Jared Smola? They don't mean anything to you. That didn't sound an alarm?
No, I just figured that maybe they'd want to just golf. I don't know, like a normal person. I don't know.
I didn't realize. I think they want to play golf.
It's not going to matter to me. We're not driving together. I don't know how long the draft would take.
So
I don't need that much time to warm up.
There isn't really anything to worry about. The draft is at 10. Tee time's 11:30.
All right.
There might be a slight overlap. The draft might bleed into like the first hole. We've been saying we think we might be on the tee figuring out which kicker we want.
All right.
But nothing more
serious. I'm happy to help.
I don't think we're warming up.
I have no... Well, I...
You're warming up.
I'm going to dominate you guys then.
Well, that's... I already assumed that.
I am planning to get there in time to have
a
hearty warm-up.
Good.
I very rarely get that.
Range and putting green.
Yeah.
Right there for you. Adam is providing it.
All right.
And then you jump in the cart with him and get to know him. Finally, you're going to meet.
Yeah, I'm excited.
First time ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I am excited. And it's a new place, so a new experience. And you and I don't get to do social things that often
together
anyway.
No, it's been 10 days.
So, but that was the first thing in it
golf.
Feels like quite some time. So anyway, I'm excited.
Good.
I'm very excited about that. It's like the highlight, it's one of many highlights of the holiday weekend for me. That's what I'm going to go with.
Really?
I'm going to go with many highlights. I have many highlights.
You have a big weekend.
I have a big weekend.
Interesting.
Yes. I've got this
Labor
golf.
Day?
I've got this golf outing. Saturday, that's Saturday. Sunday, with the holiday Monday, my friends Uncle Ben's Remedy are playing at the legendary Zoar Valley Tavern in the afternoon. And we have been meaning to get to that. I don't know. They've had it scheduled other years, and like stuff has come up, and they had to cancel at the last minute. But I'm hoping it all goes off. We're planning to go out for that, and then Monday we're taping another episode of the now highly acclaimed. No, that's not right. Some people have seen our golf show, Buffalo Lynx Golf, which I've been tweeting about. We're taping another episode. We got another one that just dropped yesterday with Melissa Holmes and her 12-year-old son, who is really good at golf. So good that we played a scramble instead of like playing in a match because we figured we'd all get killed by this 12-year-old kid. Because we started a golf show, but we're not very good golfers. But he is, Elliot Skirsten.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's it. I got big, important, fun stuff every day.
Wow.
And tonight, even dinner with the mighty John Gale.
Wow.
It's all happening.
When are you going to find time to get those last-minute division winner parlays in? You going to have time for that? I mean, it starts Wednesday.
There's Wednesday night after the show. Seems like a reasonable time to do it.
I have 16
Yeah, I've still just got the two.
10 with family members six of my own, all like 10 bucks, maybe even less. I think they're all 10 bucks. And I've been, I don't know, we'll talk to Sam a little bit. Maybe this isn't even worthy of asking him, but I wonder what like the cash out algorithm looks like, you know, like just sort of whenever it changes, I think to myself, well, what changed? Like what mm-hmm. caused that?
Right.
But I've been waiting for one. So they're all $10 bets. I've been waiting for just one of them for some reason. It's not going to happen. It doesn't even make logical sense. One of them for some reason to offer me a plus money cash out. We're like $10 and 8 cents.
Right. It's never going to happen. I'm no, an 8 leg thing. Yeah.
Nothing really that.
Yeah.
I mean, what would have to happen for a team that we might have picked in one of these to shoot up that list? What, every other team's quarterback gets hurt in that division?
Right. If you have one with the Steelers, which would have been a healthy price.
I do.
I think I might have one with you. You got one with, it sounds like maybe every team.
Almost.
But if something happened to Lamar Jackson and to Joe Burrow, I don't know that you get the plus money, but you might be able to just even get your money out, which I you know, without losing anything.
Yes.
Which I don't think, I haven't looked at mine in ages because my app freezes every time I go in there. I don't know why. Anyway, I think you'd need something catastrophic that would, you know, change the Steelers' odds dramatically.
Right. Like, you'd have to have a few things happen, and I'm not expecting anybody to go north of $10 on a $10 bet, right. But I just sort of wish when I look at it. I found a Pittsburgh one. Ready?
Sure.
All right, I'll go west to east. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Denver.
All right.
Is that insane so far?
No.
No.
No, it's not insane.
Pittsburgh's defending champion. Denver's defending champion.
Indianapolis was one of the best teams in the league for 9 games last year.
All right, Dallas.
Okay, love Dallas.
Minnesota.
Not insane.
Not insane, but now we're getting really thin here. Tampa.
It's a very tough division, but still, if Murray hits, they could be good.
Tampa is probably the favorite in the NFC South. And the Rams.
Right. Yeah, that's not that nutty.
Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Denver, Dallas, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, L.A.
$10 pays $68,000.
$182,014.05.
Wow.
Right? This is why we run all those laps. This is why we lift all those weights.
That is tasty.
$10. This is a group one. So right. I would only get 10% of that.
Okay.
You'll still never see me again, but, you know, you'll never see Joey again, I bet. He takes another 10% of that before taxes. $10 pays $182,014.05. I don't know how we break up that 5 cents among 10 people. So what's the cash out? $4.39. They're not even offering me half of what that cost. What? Why not? What happened? Here's another one. This is even better. I'm saying all this. I know that I'm not going to make money on the cash out.
Right.
I'm not even looking. It's a group effort. Like, I'm not even, quote, effort. I'm not even looking to do it. I just kind of want to see it. 8 teams. Miami. Okay, well, that's how that starts.
Yeah, right.
Miami, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City. 3 favorites and the Dolphins. Washington, Chicago, Tampa, L.A. $10.
It's got to be like 400 grand.
More. Half a million. $528,843
The reason I said that is because I don't look. It's not something I check in on a lot, and I have not been super active at all. I'm very, very, very hit and miss on the gambling apps lately. I'm sure that'll change once football gets rolling. But I open it up like, oh, what's this one that I have here? Whoa, that's big. New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Denver.
Love it.
Okay.
I mean New England, but anyway.
Washington. Green Bay, Carolina,
defending champ,
and San Francisco. That is 10 to pay $472,000.
Who's your biggest problem? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. Carolina feels the hardest for me to see, but the division is full of teams that I think, no matter who, you said Tampa's the favorite, but I don't know, how good are they? You know, they're 9 or 10 wins probably.
Right.
So if the whole division is kind of like that, which is what happened last year when Carolina won it, okay, you know, maybe I'm okay there. Washington, I don't love, but you know, who knows? They were really good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So
I like anything I have right now, any action I have right now on Dallas or Washington. I can't really get to the Giants, but I like the other two.
Yeah,
it's just a bet against the Eagles.
The Giants either.
And if the Eagles aren't great, then somebody else wins it. And why couldn't it be either of those teams?
Yep.
So I like that. But I'm not taking the 88 cents being offered on this Miami one.
I'm getting six.
I'm going to say hard no on that.
Yeah, I got $1.15 on the 472 grand one.
What is going on there?
Yeah, I have another one that is way more modest.
Allen and Drake May went to a PR event tonight and just like banged into each other. Somebody's coming around the corner. Other guy doesn't see him. They bang into each other. They both go down. They both have like
serious concussions.
Then do we get at least halfway there on Miami?
I don't know.
I mean, perish the thought, but maybe. Do we? Anyway.
But I have the same sort of thing, another eight legger, and it's you know, the sketchiest pick in that is probably New Orleans.
I like that.
But somebody's got to win that. The others
Let's
are
hear
all.
It. Let's hear it.
Okay. It's Bills, Bengals, Jacksonville, Denver.
Very reasonable.
Eagles, Lions,
ugh.
Saints, Seahawks.
Like six favorites.
Right.
Basically.
That's $10 to win 38 grand.
Cheap.
Right. The cash out on that is
$689. I just on principle, I might want to cash out for this 88 cents and then tell everybody in my family, all nine other people, that they have 8.8 cents coming.
Right. Would be so happy at your Labor Day cookout.
I might even just float the other 0.02 cents or whatever it is. Give them nine cents each. I got to find some pennies. They don't make them anymore. Give them 9 cents. Guys, I decided Miami wasn't going to make it. So we're out on this one. Here's a little. So you feel better about it all. Here's a little bit of money. 9 cents.
Speaking of pennies, did you see the bag of penny wrappers that was out in the bistro area, the kitchen area?
No.
Last Friday.
Why was there a bag?
I don't know. But last Friday, it wasn't there when I walked in. And then at some point during the show, you were off. I walked out there. And it was a bag that was propped up on that table that looked like it could be, you know, Cheez-Its, chips, pretzel, some sort of snack, candy, immediately, you know, if you work in an office where, you know, the common area, if there's like food up for grabs, like there's a certain look to it from a distance, you're like, oh, look at that. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that. Penny wrappers. It was a bag of like 100 penny coin wrappers.
Yeah.
Like, what is that doing here? And why is it posing as Doritos? This is not okay. I got excited for a moment. I thought I was going to eat a whole bag of Doritos. I'm like, I'll have a Dorito on my way by. No.
Maybe it's a bag of little bags of chips. Like the fun size.
Right. Yeah. Great. Even better. But no, it was penny. It was. Penny
Are wrappers. Those collectibles?
I don't know.
Penny wrappers?
It's gone. Somebody took it. I think, or disposed of it. I don't know, but it's not out there anymore. Hmm. Anyway, sorry, a little sidebar on coins for you.
Now, this one cash out option of mine just flashed. But
what?
I'm not sure it changed. It just flashed. It just went away, and then it came back.
Oh. Well,
this is one for you.
They're trying to get your attention. They want you to take that 8 cents.
I think I think I have their attention.
They're worried about you.
Right now.
They don't want you to win that bet.
I mean, we're on serious now. I think they're listening to us, and we're trying to hash this out, and they might be making changes as they hear us talk about this, because we're very influential. This one, I would like your support on this one.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
Love Cincinnati.
New England.
Okay.
LA Chargers.
Not crazy.
I'm going to skip one for the moment. Philadelphia. Chicago. Carolina, San Francisco. It's very similar to the one you talked about.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
I knew it was going to be Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee.
When you skipped one, I knew it was
Could
going to be
Could it happen? I mean, realistically, could Tennessee, is that still a division like it was when Houston got there the first time where anybody could win?
I think Jacksonville and Houston have elevated.
I thought you were a Robert Saleh guy.
I think he'll do a good job. I like Daboll with my boy Cam Ward.
Oh.
Wow. I think Jacksonville and Houston, the idea of the AFC South being so weak that one of those teams could get the one seed. I mean, it could still happen. I think both Houston and Jacksonville are level of contender enough to, you know, perhaps get, I mean, Jacksonville won 13 games last year. So
Houston won 12.
Right. So either one of those teams could do it. But the fact that you've got two, it's a little like, it's very much like the Bills in New England now to me. I think it's too strong. I think it'd be too hard for Tennessee to find their way. Because like, to me, if they were going to do it, they need to do it like Carolina did it last year. You know, 8-9, 9-8, something like that. Everybody's down. And I think Houston and Jacksonville, if maybe they're only one of those there that look like a 12 or 13 win team, then I think I could get to Tennessee sooner.
Okay.
Because only one team needs to like have something go off the rails, and then maybe you got to look at it. But I think the two of them make it hard for me to see.
Here's my one that pays the least. $22,000 for $10. I think this is also a group one.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, Cincinnati, Houston, Kansas City, mm-hmm. Dallas, Green Bay, New Orleans, L.A. Well, is it so impossible that one of these couldn't actually make it? I know they're... I know the math to an extent anyway, right. But really, like, these are such sucker bets, but man.
I love doing them every year. I really do.
It's the best.
I love doing them every year.
Are they all doomed?
I don't think I'm going to pour.
Does somebody win?
I don't think I'm going to pour. Probably, yeah.
What last year would have been insane if you got that last year, because every AFC division turned over. So... defending champions last year were Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore, or Kansas City. None of them won.
Right.
New England, Denver, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. I mean, it's tough to talk about in hindsight because we saw it happen, but
right.
Would that have seemed insane? New England was not insane to me. They were going to be good, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of team I like for these, is that I don't think they were slept on, but okay, well... the Bills don't have to, by law, win the division every single year. They won 5 in a row. New England, Denver, any slippage from Kansas City. It's Sean Payton, right? I mean, maybe. And then Pittsburgh, because they're always right there.
Right.
And Jacksonville, it could have been anybody. Like, that's...
mm-hmm.
They did have to beat a 12-5 Houston team. But still, like, that doesn't seem insane. Philadelphia would have been the favorite. Then... Chicago, Carolina, Seattle. Seattle was nobody's choice.
No.
They probably were 5-1 at least in the NFC West with the Rams and Niners there. Nobody was on them.
I thought their line wouldn't be able to protect Darnold and that he was going to just start throwing the ball like up for grabs.
Chicago was conceivable.
Yeah, with the new coach and Williams promising all the talent that he seems to possess. Yeah.
And Carolina, that could have been anybody.
Right. That division is
Seattle was the one
of those teams.
Seattle was the one last year that
yep.
would have made it the toughest to win these. I'd love to win. I just want to get close enough so that I can, like, you get 3 games away and you have, say you have some combination last year, but it's not Seattle, it's the Rams. They would have been the favorite. You have something like that, and then you can hedge it. You can move in on Seattle or some, right. you know, in some kind of situation like that where you're going to win something, even if you don't win the huge payout, the $500,000 and 5 cents.
Right.
I might need one of those penny rollers for the 5 cents.
The 5 cents, yeah. Right.
Exciting. How do you feel about Detroit as the Bills' first home opponent? Does it reach you on some sort of level, like historically or anything other than, like, it's a good game.
It is a good game. The last time these two teams met, it was a great game. I'm not here to say like game of the year or anything, but it was, you know,
pretty good.
Another 40, you know, both teams were in the 40s. So wild game. Those are pretty rare in the NFL. It's rare to get two teams in the 30s in the NFL, let alone the 40s. So, but no, historical, no. you know, I think it's daunting for sure. You know, the whole schedule is really tough, but the beginning of it, they really better be buttoned up. Because that's a serious situation there. I think they're probably, every team is, thinking that is a contender, is going to want to hit the ground running and go hard. But they had such a bad year last year that, they could just come out really firing to me, Detroit. Like, they could be a team that gets off to a really hot start in the league this year, I think.
They start with the Saints.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Before they come here.
Yeah.
I think it's at New Orleans. No, it's home. They host the Saints in week one. And then at the Bills, then the Jets and Panthers, and the Cardinals. Wow. Look at Detroit. Detroit's not – they're going to maybe say no to 4-1.
Maybe.
Would you say yes to 3-2? At Houston, Detroit, Chargers, Patriots, at the Rams. Would you take 3-2?
I feel like I almost have to. It's such a tough – like 4-1.
Great.
There, it would be a tremendous job.
Everybody would take 4-1.
Yeah, right. So 3-2, I think I would. I think it is. There are other hard games on the schedule, but that block of five to start, to me, I think. I'm gonna look again at the middle part here. KC, Miami, Green Bay, Chicago, Denver. That's five games starting right around Thanksgiving, running almost right up to Christmas Day. They play in Denver.
It literally is Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, that is also a brutal five-game stretch. So I was thinking, 3-2, fine, it softens up, and there's not another stretch like that. But I don't know, maybe those two stretches of the season get me 3-2 in both of them. I'm 6-4 in my hardest games. And, let me find my way to five more out of the other bunch.
You have two blocks of Dolphins and Jets, one in the middle, one at the end. And then the other three are consecutive: Raiders, Ravens, Vikings.
Right, that Jet-Dolphin block sandwiches that five-week stretch from Thanksgiving to Christmas that we just talked about. They play the Jets in Miami. Then
they're the bread.
Then the Chiefs, Patriots, Packers, Bears, Broncos, and then Miami and New York again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sam Paniatovic, Fox Chicago, coming up next. We'll also talk to Jim Coventry. He's a friend of mine from RotoWire. RotoWire is going to be represented on our show Fridays throughout the football season, although I don't know that Jim has ever been on with us. He's excited. So am I.
Okay, good.
Gord Stellick. Also, next hour, we're on SiriusXM, channel 175, or on the SiriusXM app. Gord is with the NHL channel on Sirius, and he's a well-known name around hockey for decades now. Leafs GM for a minute.
That's right.
As a young guy, might have been one of the youngest GMs ever in history of sports. Right?
Yeah. I think
would he know if we ask him?
Would he know if he was the youngest GM in the history of the league? I don't know.
He should. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with Sammy P after this on WGR.
All comes down to this. Claim. Burn! Blocked! Colorado wins! Oh my goodness!
Are you following Ryan Paganetti yet?
Oh yeah. No, right after
he's like, they blew that.
Right
Georgia
after,
Tech.
Right after you had him on the show, I started following him. Yeah.
So they ran their plays too quickly.
Okay.
When they had the ball.
Yeah.
Could have bled a lot more clock and given themselves a much better chance of winning. But they didn't know that.
But they missed a kick anyway, right? Like, what just happened there? What did we just listen to?
The possession before that, maybe?
Oh, I see.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. All right.
With us now on the...
I got the impression they lost on a missed field goal, and I'm not sure what the... But maybe they... whatever. All right.
There's something there.
I didn't see Paganetti on that.
Sam will know. With us now on the Western Hotline is Sam Paniatovic. You know his work from Fox Chicago. Bet Sweats, chicken dinner, bars maybe. You've seen Sam. He's been with us a long time. WGR. We'll be like right after those other jobs.
We gotta get in your Twitter bio, Sam. That's what we need. Regular contributor.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Would you consider doing that?
I could be convinced, yes. What's in it for me, though?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Clout.
Right.
Obvious clout.
People will ask you, what does that mean? You know, I go on with those guys once a week for 10 minutes or 20.
You know, Sam.
I want to minimize your impact, Sam.
I ask this as a compliment to you. Might you have been invested last night in Buffalo, Albany?
No, the only bet I made last night was Colorado +6.5. I did not take UMass +29 against Rutgers. What a bet that would have been.
Right.
Rutgers pays them $1.5 million, and then they come in and whoop. And then did you guys see after the game, Rutgers loses as like a 29-point favorite, and then they do a fireworks show after the game.
Oh, I love that. Got to do it. We said we would.
I love that Rutgers is back. We there was a Friday night last football season where this is changing because my wife's schedule changed, but like oftentimes I'd get out of here on a Friday and go to the bar and just have a couple of beers and, you know, wait for some people I know to get there and sort of hang out. But I'm there early and I'm looking at my phone. I'm texting with Sam. And this is not to call you out. You're like, Rutgers, get on Rutgers with me or something. I did.
Not last night.
Good. But it totally went sideways. I don't remember what happened, but it ended up not being a good pick.
I just saw – the only thing I saw from that game was the handshake. And it was like, oh, right, Greg Schiano. Yes, this is great watching him lose.
Yes.
I love watching him. Certain coaches, you just love to watch them lose.
It's the number one appeal of college football to me is hating the coaches.
Bulldog, that was an Iowa-Rutgers game. I'll never forget that. And that was funny because, you know, last year – and we'll get into a couple of bets I like, obviously, for this weekend. I think we had a pretty good run last year. And I usually just give you guys, like, one bet. And I think at the time we were, like, 6-2 or 5-2. And might have been feeling a little confident. Texted Bulldog a little extra, like, I really like Rutgers tonight. You know, I was feeling it.
Yep.
And then, like, Bulldog will never text after a win or a loss. But that one, I feel like I pushed the envelope a little far. And that Iowa cracked Rutgers. But there was, like, a pick six in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you hate when that happens.
I think, it went sideways almost right away. I feel like maybe the pick six was right away. It was just like, what are we doing here?
Yep.
But, hey, listen, I'm teasing you, all in good fun. You gave our audience last week North Carolina.
Yeah, that was nice. I didn't think they were going to win the game. But, look, this is the lesson early in these seasons. You know, a lot of teams are priced in Vegas on what they did last season. And TCU's offense was really good last year. The problem is their quarterback is gone. He transferred to Indiana. Josh Hoover, Cignetti pulled him away. And TCU thought that they could just go into Harvard and transfer their quarterback in, and it's not the same thing.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys watched that, Gabe. It was a total rock fight, which is exactly what Belichick wants to do. The final score was like 15-13 or something like that. And I remember we talked about that on Friday when, ironically enough, I was at a bar this time around. And I said 9 is too many. Now, I didn't think they would win, but
right.
A lot of these big numbers, you know, in week number one, it's not really a true testament of what these teams are. It's more what they were. And you can find some really nice numbers in week one and even in week two.
Do you think that translates to the NFL, or is there just too much information, too much stability relative to college football? Like I've got, maybe you do too, survivor pools. And yesterday Bulldog and I were talking about the Dolphins Raiders game. Like I just can't. One HN run, one good pass, and Miami wins. Like it's just, I mean, there are too many games that are more than like 3.5 on Sunday, week one next week. But do you think, does the same principle apply to the pros?
It's a good question. The problem is the rosters are so much smaller and there's just really not that much turnover. Now, you know, if a star defensive end isn't there anymore, that's a big deal. Left tackle's worth a ton. And obviously if you're going to a new quarterback, that changes a ton, especially if the quarterback is a rookie. Like when the Raiders go to Fernando Mendoza, now you have a rookie quarterback, a hobbled running back and a terrible offensive line. Like that's not great, but also like it wasn't great last year. So you don't see a lot of changes. Like the biggest example in recent memory is when, you know, Brady goes to the Bucs. You know, that was a team that was like 80-1 to win the Super Bowl, and then Brady goes there, and oh my God, now they're 10-1. You know, like that's a drastic change, but you don't tend to see it that much in the NFL year to year. In college, though, with NIL guys, I mean, you know, some of these teams. I was doing a preview the other day of a Memphis game. Memphis has 75 new players this year. Like, what? Well, how is that even possible?
Wow.
You know, there's 90 guys on a team, and 75 of their guys are new. So in college, like I said, I think it's very difficult for these bookmakers to go year to year because it used to be linear. You know, a quarterback would go there, he'd stay a couple of years, he'd start as a junior and a senior, and then he'd maybe go to the NFL. Now you got a quarterback who could be on three teams in 3 years. It's just crazy.
Speaking of Brady, I was already, you know, planning to mention this, but I love that point about the unknown quarterback. Like, we'll see if Mendoza, whenever it happens, doesn't walk on the field and make a huge difference. Brady, I was in Las Vegas for his first start in 2001, and they were 0-2, New England. They had Peyton Manning and the Colts, and nobody liked them. Like, there was just no reason to think that that was going to be an upgrade from Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. And they blew out the Colts. They won by, like, 30 points his first game. Like, okay, this one, maybe we could have known this.
Right.
Maybe we could have known this.
Looking back, maybe, wow, okay, they knew what they were doing there.
Yeah, and I wonder how the lines moved after that. Like, right away, I wonder if he just got, like, that kind of respect or not. But they won the Super Bowl that year. So hopefully you came around to that.
It probably took a while, though, because I feel like I don't know what betting lines were doing at that time, but I know how it sounded on the radio, and it was like waiting for him to turn into a pumpkin for maybe
years,
even that whole year. Like, yes. It was into the next year, maybe the year after.
Yes.
There's a playoff game in Pittsburgh, I remember, him throwing it all over them and going like,
well, they cheated.
Like, okay, I don't think this is just like he's got a great coach. I think maybe this guy's pretty good.
Yeah. How far do you go back, Sam? That's 2001. You probably remember that. You're old enough to remember that stuff.
I actually, let's see, in that Super Bowl, I'm not good with Super Bowl numbers, but I know it was the 2001 season because they had like the 9/11, you know, remembrance before the game. It was the Patriots and the Rams, and that I was in seventh grade. And I bet my buddy, because I found out that the point spread was 14. Like, the Rams were a 14-point favorite in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my fellow seventh-grade friend that I will take the points, and didn't need them because they won the game outright. But, I mean, that was, guys, that's one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NFL playoffs.
Sure.
The Patriots were a 14-point dog in that game and won it outright.
Yeah.
Listen, this is embarrassing. I really didn't understand how point spreads worked until I started working with Mike.
Oh, boy.
Like, in 2003. You're in seventh grade and going, give me the points.
Yeah, I love it.
Just like,
you were born to do what you do, Sam.
Thank you, Mike.
Is there anything, what jumps out at you, college? Is it a better schedule this weekend? I mean, there's more games, obviously. So, but what stands out? Who do you like? Not so much what are the best matchups, but like, what do you like betting-wise?
In week one, which is weird because we just played a whole weekend of games, right? Like, yeah. This is week one now. I'll never understand that. But the two that I really like are, number one is Houston. Houston's playing Oregon State, and crazily enough, Houston's a 20.5-point favorite, but Houston is one of 12 teams in the country that brings back the following four things: starting quarterback, head coach, OC, DC. Only 12 teams do that,
wow.
And Houston's one of them. So that's a big deal in this landscape of college football. I also talked to a former bookmaker who now bets professionally, and he said his number on the game is 27. So when he said that, I had already liked Houston. Mm-hmm. I made a nice bet on Houston -20.5. And then the second game, there's a weather game in Hawaii, guys. Mm-hmm. I was reading a bunch of reports this morning about this Hurricane Lowell, and you hate to handicap hurricanes, but I mean, at the end of the day, this number was 58.5 2 days ago.
Oh,
on Bear Bets, I gave it out at 57. Now it's down to 56. If we see footage of this, you know, stadium tomorrow and the wind is ripping through and the flags are just going crazy and there's a monsoon, I mean, how much lower could it go? 53, 52.5. So I would bet this right now because this is how it works. People will flip on the game and see the pregame and see the storms and go, oh, I like the under. But this could move three more points. So I like Houston -20.5 and the UNLV Hawaii game under 56.5 right now.
UNLV, Hawaii. We are so back. Oh, Sam Panayotovich with us.
All the way back.
I texted Sam the other day about a possible offensive player of the year idea in the NFL, Jameson Williams of the Lions. But what I mean, it's a big long shot bet. What I don't like about it, of course, is like there are two other, if not three, really good offensive players, weapons on the Lions. Like he would have to come in way above St. Brown and Gibbs, right. I think, to win. But you said you were open to it, right?
I'm open to anything at the right price. I mean, do I think it's going to happen? No. But then you throw the amount out there and what the payout would be, and it's a different conversation. Like, I don't hate anybody taking a shot, you know, betting a little to win a lot. Like, that's where I live. I look at, like, I'm not answering the question the way you asked it, but, like, on the Bears, for example, like, they've got a lot of really good players. And the one that Ben Johnson likes the most is Luther Burden. Like, he has been gushing about this kid all offseason and through training camp and heading into the regular season. That guy's 100-1 right now. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, if Ben really likes him and keeps going out of his way to say that Luther Burden's going to be that guy this year, maybe 2 + 2 = 4. But then you look around that Bears roster, and Caleb is obviously really, really good. And they have a couple other weapons, and they like Colson Loveland a lot. So, you know, Burden's got the upside. But if the coach is saying all the right things and the player has the pedigree and the talent, and then you look at the 100-1, you're like, all right, he might not be the best player, but there's a path here. So whether it's Jameson Williams or whether it's Matthew Golden with the Packers or Luther Burden with the Bears, like, there are some really good players at some really big prices, no doubt.
Williams is 200-1, and the Burden example, Burden does not have that sort of, you know, clutter, so to speak, in his way. You mentioned, you know, Loveland, but Swift is hurt now maybe too, right? Sam, what's the latest on Swift?
Yeah, Swift,
in Chicago.
He had cramps. He had cramps yesterday. Okay. Menunga's banged up, though. I've always been in the Dunze guy personally. I think he's really, really good. I think he gets a lot of flack for no reason. But, look, I mean, the reality is you're going to have to outlast a lot of really good players. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is the odds-on favorite right now, you know, to be the offensive player of the year. But if you're going to hit one of these guys at triple digits, you're going to need a lot of production, obviously, but you're going to need other guys that have down years, and you're going to need some injury luck too.
Right. Bears and Carolina in week one. Bulldog's already on it. He was on Chicago like 2 months ago for our pick segment next week.
Right.
Wow.
Anything else, Sam? What are you thinking about that we haven't talked about? White Sox, baseball?
Well, I'm walking in the Sox right now. It is a magic wand night in the spirit of Harry Potter.
Yes.
They're giving away 20,000 magic wands. I believe we
what kind of projectile potential do these wands have, Sam?
I just can't wait to see the clientele. There is 90 degrees outside, Bulldog. You're going to see all these people in wool outfits. It's going to be crazy.
Right.
But think about this. The White Sox are still going to make the playoffs, and Mike's going to cash that 10-1 ticket. And all the audience that hopped in on 66.5 over, White Sox sitting currently on 73 wins. I think we're going to be okay, guys.
Has won already, yeah. Sneaky Joe was excited to tell me about that at that golf outing we had last week. He's like, I got there on the White Sox. I'm like, I heard.
All right.
So
you know what's funny? You bring that up. I haven't heard from Sneaky Joe since that hit, by the way.
Interesting. Well, he's on paternity leave at the moment, so maybe that's why.
Oh. Well, all it takes is a quick log that's into right. The messages part of the phone and just, hey, thanks for the White Sox.
I'm with you on that. Least
when
you
they
can do.
When they started 1-5, he texted me, I don't know about these White Sox.
Oh. That's not good. That's not cool. Definitely send that message, Joe, if you're out there listening right now.
Yeah, when I was teasing you last year about that Rutgers game, it was more funny to me that it was going sideways. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is terrible, you're a jerk. It was just like, wow, good bet.
Can't win them all.
Right, just, wow, good bet.
Nice. All right, Sam, thanks for this. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We'll talk next week, week one.
All right, you guys too. And, yeah, again, get that Hawaii under, because if this weather is as bad as it could be, that 56.5 could be like 53 tomorrow night.
On my way. Thanks again, Sam. Sam Panayotovich on the Western Hotline. The Twins, I think, are in town for Harry Potter night in Chicago. I think it's the Twins this weekend. Coming up in about 16 minutes, Jim Coventry of RotoWire will talk some fantasy football as drafts are wrapping up here before the season. Gord Stellick later next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.